Welcome to Breaking Free Podcast, your recovery, your way. I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Liv. You're in the right place if you want to explore what it means to be in recovery, to challenge the things that keep us small, and to learn how to thrive independently.
Together we are breaking free. Just a quick reminder that while I'm a nurse and a coach, and Liv is a coach, recovery advocate, and a writer, we are not doctors. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you need to, please, please see a doctor.
The Alana Club of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services.
Unity Recovery, an inclusive recovery community organization serving all of Philadelphia, is proud to support the Breaking Free podcast. Recovery is possible. Find your path to break free.
Oh, you look great. Did you lose weight?
Hey, Liv. How's it going?
Hi.
You know, I have really shifted away from focusing on my weight. Mm-hmm. And for me, I found that it's triggering when I have people comment on my body. And I know you're my friend, and I know that you want what's best for me. And so I just want to ask that you'll consider that in the future and respect a boundary that I'm implementing in my life to really move away from, you know, having people comment on my body.
Of course, I completely understand.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too.
All right. So obviously we just staged that a little bit, but this is actually something that I've had conversations with people in my life about. And today we're going to talk about, you know, last time we talked about bodies, you know, comparison and focusing on bodies. Mm. Now we're going to talk a little bit about how do we set boundaries around comments about our bodies or about food, our food choices.
Are you really going to eat that, Tiffany?
Yeah. Are you going to? I am actually going to eat this.
You are?
I am. Yeah. I actually, I do this thing called intuitive eating, and I really honor what my body wants and what's satisfying to me. And I don't, you know, I don't need to have judgment around food. Food's emotionally neutral. So, you know, that's one of the things that I'm starting to ask people in my life is to really honor this new way that I'm exploring and the way that I am approaching my relationship with food is to, you know, not have external input, but really instead honoring my body. So so I know it's kind of new for you, but and I'm always open to talking about it, but I know how much you love me and that you really want what's best for me, and I believe that this is what's best for me.
Wow, isn't that amazing? I mean, actually, I think because we have such a love and respect for each other that we're able to have those kind of boundary setting conversations. But when you think about it, like, you know, I've been in situations where I have set those boundaries and it has been met with defensiveness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately. So Liv and I are really lucky. We have really from the beginning of our friendship been able to have challenging conversations because we do trust each other and we do respect each other. And sometimes, you know, there's relationships, I'd say especially familial relationships, right? Like mom or or an aunt or a sister or, you know, I'm kind of saying female roles because primarily, my experience has been that, you know, women are much more focused on food and bodies.
Yeah.
Right. And yet sometimes it's dad.
My dad has always commented on my weight. Mm-hmm. Always. And even he's even posted within the last few years on my Facebook page publicly, like, you need to cut out carbs, Liv.
Publicly, even like that's just like dagger in the heart. Right. And, you know, we do talk in other episodes about why it's harmful to basically place value and worth on having a certain body size.
Yeah.
But today we really want to talk about, you know, why it's what to do in that instance and how we can start to honor ourselves.
And why we should stop commenting on weight loss or body
size.
Yeah,
okay, so there's a great article that was in Self magazine. So awesome Self, because, you know, a lot of times they actually have kind of diet culture-y messages. But this was a great article, and it was interesting because I posted it on my Facebook feed, and actually there was a lot of pushback. And so, you know, what what the article talks about is that when we say, like, you look great, you've lost weight, that means that that person didn't look great before. Yeah. Or if they gain that weight back, they're going to feel bad and feel like they don't look good and people aren't going to like them.
And lack worthiness.
Yeah, exactly. So it places value and worth on being small or being thin. And it's harmful in a lot of ways because not only does it place value on being small or being thin, because it's seemingly innocuous, right?
Yeah.
So we think that we're actually commenting and on, you know, that we think that they are doing what's right for their health. We have no idea how yeah. or why that person lost weight. So, you know, maybe it's because they have a really disordered view of their body and they're restricting down to mm-hmm. an extreme low number of calories.
Well, they could be going through chemotherapy.
They could be going through chemotherapy. They could have an eating disorder, right?
Yeah.
So we don't want to encourage those things. And so this is just a really great article about why it's harmful to comment, even if you think you're giving someone a compliment, right? Mm-hmm. One thing I struggle with is when someone comes up to me, knowing especially that I am, you know, an intuitive eating coach, or they just kind of assume that I focus on weight loss, which I do not. I'm weight neutral. But, you know, they come up to me and say, oh my gosh, I lost, you know, 20 pounds, and they like want encouragement. So the way that I found to deal with this is really to just say, oh, how do you feel? Or it's so nice to see you. Or, you know, I'm glad that you are, you know, feeling good about yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like making comments that are more about that person.
Yeah.
Right? If you want to compliment the way someone looks, like compliment their smile or their new, you know, red dress, or, you know,
yeah.
you don't necessarily, although you don't want to say like, oh, you're so brave to wear or something.
So revealing.
So yeah, like, ooh, that really hugs your curves, right? Like, because that assumes that because someone's in a larger body, they shouldn't wear something that's fun
right.
or flirtatious or,
yeah.
You know, whatever, you know, form figured.
And, you know, and are clothes even emotive, right? You
yeah.
know, is something flirtatious if it shows a bit of body? Like, who's
yeah.
to say we shouldn't
exactly.
show
right.
those
yeah.
things?
Exactly.
I had that recently. Someone told me that they'd lost 50 pounds, and I was like, I'm glad you're meeting your health goals. Like, I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, that is that something you're happy about? You know, yeah, it's challenging, and it requires some level of rewiring
mm-hmm.
because we equate happiness to weight.
To being thinner, and we also equate health to being thinner,
mm-hmm.
which, is, again, it's not there are certainly some diseases that a person who's in a larger body may be more prone to develop. But, you know, there's a lot, the jury's really out about whether that is due to weight. It could be because that those illnesses actually cause weight gain, right? Not the other way around.
Yeah.
And also, you know, all of the diseases out there that, you know, certain size bodies are more prone to occur in all the other size bodies. So,
yeah.
you know, I could go down a whole rabbit hole of why it's wrong that we equate weight with health. But actually, there's a great article about this, about, you know, I'm afraid that you'll die if you are
What
fat.
If you get so big you can't move?
Yeah, exactly, right? And so, you know, it's really interesting because this article, we're going to break it down a little bit, and it's in the show notes. But this article, and it was by Fat Girl Flow, and this article really focuses on, first of all, you know, it's nobody's business.
Yeah.
Right? Second of all, it is not a moral issue. And your concern, right, actually comes across as shaming and stigmatizing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting, though. What if you get so big you can't move? I love this part of it. She says, well, first of all, there are lots of people in the world with limited mobility, and it's ridiculous to think that I am less valuable as a friend if this happened. And I love that.
That's profound.
Like, yeah, I'm not less valuable as a friend.
I'm less able. Because then that shames people who are not in able bodies.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy.
Yeah.
So boundaries. I remember the very first time someone talked to me about a boundary, and they said, it is the space between the end of your nose and the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and boundaries are so challenging for us, right?
Mm.
Because we want to please other people.
We want to fix other people.
We want to fix other people.
They'll just be happy if.
Yeah, we want to help other people, mm-hmm. right? All of these boundaries. And it's our value and our worth a lot of times is really tied to appeasing other people. And so it's hard to set a boundary that they may not like. One of the things that she mentioned in this article is, when I tell you that I'm not interested in diet culture or losing weight or discussing my body with people, it's not a debate. I didn't ask if you believe in my decision. I didn't ask if you agree with me. I told you my values about my body, full stop.
Yeah.
And I just love that because, you know, honoring those boundaries is really an act of love and respect.
Yeah.
And violating those boundaries is really the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Right? And it's really harmful. So how do we start to set boundaries? That's really what this is all about today. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about how do we start to set boundaries around food and body.
The Alana Club of Portland is proud to sponsor the Breaking Free podcast. Your recovery, your way, is at the heart of our approach to recovery support services. As the largest and most diversely programmed non-clinical recovery support center in the United States, we've been proudly breaking barriers and forging new pathways for years to ensure everyone has a home in recovery. From peer mentoring to recovery CrossFit, from trauma-informed yoga to mindfulness training, the Alana Club of Portland has a recovery pathway that's right for you.
Here at Unity Recovery, we believe recovery should be the expectation, not the exception. Whether you find support with mutual aid, harm reduction, medication, or yoga, your recovery is beautiful and worth celebrating. Learn more and become part of the recovery movement at unityrecovery.org.
And we're back.
So, Tiffany, how do we set boundaries around food and our bodies?
This is such a great question. So, I would say, first off, start with really considering what do you want? So, and that might be different in each circumstance, right? So it might be that you're going to the doctor's office and you don't want to be weighed and you have to set a boundary there. It might be that you're going to, you know, Thanksgiving dinner and you don't want anyone to comment on your food choices. It might be that you, and this could be either because you, you know, want to be able to eat what you want without someone saying, are you really going to eat that? Or it might be that you're a vegetarian and you don't want someone to give you crap for not eating the turkey, whatever it is. It might be that you don't want your mom to, every time she calls you, say, I lost 20 pounds or whatever, focus on her weight. I know, Liv, you mentioned having a family member that calls you, and my mom used to do this. She would call me and say, you know, talk about weight. She'd say, are we being good or bad today? In reference to, like, what kind of a restaurant do you want to, you know, or, like, how, what are you eating?
And asking the other person to be in on that too.
Yeah, totally.
Like we, the collective we.
Yeah, and for me personally, I choose not to look at food as good or bad. And so, you know, I had to set some boundaries with my mom around, hey, mom, you know, I just eat, you know, what I'm going to eat every day and I don't look at it as good or bad. It was, you know, it was awkward conversation for sure.
Yeah.
And she really didn't get it at first. But
yeah.
Now over time, she's really shifted the way that she talks with me about food. So, you know, so really looking at what am I actually wanting here?
Yeah.
So are there any boundaries that you might, or scenarios that you can think of where you might have?
Yeah, like that I, you know, if I go home for Christmas, like I don't want to talk about food. Like I don't want to talk about my body. I don't want to, body and money are the two things that can cause quite a lot of conflict in my family. And, yeah, I don't want to discuss those things, and I am often met with a lot of defensiveness.
Yeah.
Because people don't understand that. It's kind of interesting, you know, I was just thinking when you were saying that, like, we wouldn't have gone to a former teacher or someone in a position of seniority, you know, like our boss, and say, you really going to eat that for lunch? So why do we do it with our family?
Yeah, we do it with our family and, you know, particularly women, right? So people feel that they can comment on what our bodies look like and what we put into our bodies.
Yeah. And they don't equate their comments to any kind of implication, you know, that it's just, well, I'm just making a comment. Well, actually you're shaming me.
You're shaming me. And it's disempowering.
Yeah.
And it is crossing a boundary, right?
Yeah. And you're telling me, you know, my position too? Like, does that reinforce any love for me? Because it doesn't feel very loving when someone is shaming me.
Yeah.
And you know, will you love me more if I'm slimmer?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And I think in a really misguided way, a lot of times people think it is coming from a place of love, again, because I'm worried about your health or I'm worried about these things. And, you know, definitely listen to the Obsession with Bodies episode if you haven't already. But it is really misguided.
Yeah.
Because it's not taking into account the person's mental and emotional health.
Yeah. And how does it, I mean, how is it loving?
Yeah. Well, it definitely doesn't help you to eat differently or to be different in your body, right?
No. And actually, it might lead you towards coping with food.
Absolutely.
So it will totally backfire.
Totally. If you are shamed and you internalize that shame, you're going to try to self-soothe. And a lot of times we do that with food. So it absolutely contributes to the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you do if you're met with defensiveness?
Yeah, well, I would say first, you know, kind of going back to what do we want? And then really decide, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Is it going to be worth it? Is this person, you know, if it's your like 98-year-old Aunt Virginia or whoever, like whatever, you know, I mean, is it really worth it? Is this a person that you feel, you know, like with Liv and I mean, we are very close friends and it is important to me to be who I really am in our friendship. Mm-hmm. And I trust you. And sometimes I have to preface conversations with, or you've had to preface, like, you know, this might be a little hard, or this is different than what we talked about before, or, you know, but this is how I feel about it. And it can be really hard to hold each other accountable, right?
Yeah.
But it is so worth it because we have a great friendship because of it. So really deciding, is this worth it? If it's like an event, do I even want to go to this event if I really feel that is it really going to be triggering and feel harmful to me? Am I going to feel safe, right?
Yeah.
So, and then if you decide that you want to try to start to set these boundaries, it can be better to set these in advance.
Yeah.
Because when it's real time, people get a lot more defensive, right? And if not, if it's not possible to set it in advance, then, you know, maybe consider easing into it, right? Like saying things in just kind of gently, right? Or saying things like not necessarily like attacking directly, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying that you can never do that. If you are someone who just wants to be like, you know what, F you, I don't have to take this anymore, go for it. If you feel empowered to do that and you feel like it would be helpful to you, go for it. But it's not likely going to be well received, right? Mm-hmm. So I wrote an article about this actually last year before the holidays, and I'll include it in the show notes. But basically, you want to, again, preface it with, I know you want what's best for me. I know you care about me. I trust that you will try to hear me because I know that you care about me. However you want to frame that, and try to make it genuine, right? Yeah. How you feel. Like, I know my mom loves me. The way she expresses love is different sometimes than the way that I do. But if I let her know that I want to have a conversation with her that might be a little challenging and that it's not a reflection of, you know, I don't think she's bad.
Yeah.
Right. I just think, you know, she's kind of been, you know, this has been with her for a long time, right? Because she's been subject to diet culture and whatever messages she got from her family and all of that stuff. So I try to preface it with something like that. And then if I feel comfortable, I try to give them some background. So, you know, if you're someone who has disordered eating or if you're experiencing, you know, a lot of shame or these things and you feel that it's safe, sometimes it can be helpful to let people know that. Like, hey, it's triggering for me when people talk about bodies, you know, or when someone comments on my body, it's really triggering for me. And it triggers my disordered eating.
Yeah.
Because as we talked about before, you go into shame spiral, maybe that makes you want to eat. So sometimes if they see it from that perspective, that can be helpful too. But I think the key is really saying exactly what you mean. It's so freaking hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. Mm-hmm. It's really hard, especially when you know that no matter what you say, it just isn't going to be received in the way that you want. And sometimes I think in setting a boundary, you need to be willing, you know, when asking yourself, is it worth it? You need to be willing to accept that potential outcome.
Absolutely.
You know, like, what am I going to do to hear that outcome? But also, what am I going to do to care for myself at that outcome?
Absolutely. So let's just kind of volley back and forth some boundaries.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, as I mentioned at the beginning, I don't want to talk about bodies. I don't want people to comment on my body, and I don't want to hear comments about other people's bodies or even your body, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, in the mom scenario, like if my mom tells me like, "Oh, I've lost 20 pounds," you know, that can be triggering because of the relationship with the mother, right? And so, you know, I could say to her, I mean, with my mom, it's a little different because she's gone through some health stuff. So we may talk about that, but more from a health perspective at this point. But, you know, if she were actively trying to diet, I would probably have to set a boundary and say, you know, mom, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about my food choices.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to justify the reason I don't eat certain foods because I want to care for my body. So I don't eat gluten or dairy because it is, you know, it sets off a reaction in my body that I don't like and is unhelpful for me. It causes pain. It causes, you know, a condition in my skin. So that doesn't work for me, but I don't necessarily want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And, you know, same kind of going back to the like vegetarian example. Like, there's probably nothing worse than trying, you know, someone having to, like, justify why they don't want to eat meat while everyone's gorging themselves on Thanksgiving meal, right?
Yeah, let's discuss your moral choices, right, and your whole value system.
I mean...
Really?
Well, yeah, and you, okay, do you want me to show you a picture? Whatever, right? Like, if they're doing it for ethical reasons, then, you know, really, do you want to put someone in that position? Like, it's probably better for everyone, right, if we just honor each other's choices and respect that. And you know, that's one of the things, like doing it in advance, I think it's helpful. I really try not to discuss food or my work, even intuitive eating, while I'm eating with people. Because stress, like if you're not going to enjoy your meal, right? And it's just not the time or place. So I do set that boundary. If someone starts asking me about intuitive eating and my work and it's kind of a charged environment, I let them know, like, you know, I love talking about this and I really want to talk about it with you. But I try not to talk about these things while we're eating. I'd like to just enjoy our meal.
I love that.
Yeah. It's hard though.
It's really hard.
But it's awesome. The thing is, like, when someone sets a boundary with me, sometimes I feel a little defensive or a little bit taken back. But I have so much respect for that person later. I'm like, holy smokes, like they are a badass. They just set that boundary and I really respect that.
And it's really inspiring to then consider, you know, to reflect and consider what are the boundaries I want to set in my life. I remember when I first came to Portland and I had a short period of therapy because at the time I was on OHP, the Oregon Health Plan. So it was free and it was limited to, you know, a handful of sessions. Anyway, we were talking about boundaries because I had an ex that turned up drunk one day. And right, and
awkward
in his car.
Oh shoot!
Right,
he drove in there drunk. Yeah,
to his girlfriend in recovery. I mean,
I wonder why that didn't work out.
Now we're not laughing because we think that's funny. Let's just point that out.
Oh, the irony!
Right, we're laughing because it's ironic, but it's also dangerous, and it's also so misaligned with the values of someone in recovery and disrespectful and all those things. Anyway.
Yeah, uncomfortable,
so
for sure.
Totally. So we set that boundary. You know, we talked about boundaries and what boundaries I could set. And my point is this. She said, you know, these are the things that you could say, you know, like, I don't want you to do that. It makes me feel really uncomfortable, blah, 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 blah. But she said there's an important element of boundaries that people miss out. And that is the consequences if they break those boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, in this scenario, if you do this again, I'm not going to answer the door.
Yeah.
So what are some of the consequences we could implement if people don't listen to our body and food-related boundaries?
Yeah, so one of the ways, and I think this is in the article, in my article that my blog post that I put in the show notes, but one of the ways that we can do this is by prefacing again, I know that you care about me and I appreciate, like, are you willing, asking them, are you willing to honor this boundary? And if they say no, then, you know, saying like, okay, well, I'm going to have to consider this, especially if you're doing it in advance. I'm going to have to consider this and then I'll let you know, if I still feel comfortable coming. Mm-hmm. But when you do this, if, you know, and then saying like, okay, I'm going to come. but if you do this, I'm going to leave the room, or I'm going to change the subject. I'm just not going to respond to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Or I'm going to leave if I feel unsafe.
Yeah. I'm going to leave. And what we can do if they say yes is let them know how much you really appreciate that and let them know, hey, I know you might forget because this is new.
Yeah.
So I'm going to remind you if you forget that we'd had this discussion and that, you know, this is that boundary that we talked about.
And I think this is a really important piece of people in recovery, because often people in early recovery have low self-esteem. Mm. So, you know, and sometimes a lack of self-respect, you know. So in setting boundaries, essentially what we're doing is asking for our needs to be met. Mm. And that is really challenging to do for people in early recovery, because we lack self-worth and self-esteem. Mm. And we fear rejection. Mm. So, you know, this plays out a lot in romantic relationships, but also with family. You know, if I ask for this need to be met and they say no, then I'm not going to feel worthy, and I'm fear being rejected, and I already have an insecure attachment. We should probably have a whole episode on that. You know, so in this scenario with a family member, having to set the boundary is uncomfortable enough in the first instance, but then having to give a consequence too is even more challenging. And then the third step is implementing the boundary, you know. So like you say, reminding people, you know, and seeing it through. Because if you don't, then when you set future boundaries with that person, they're going to think that you don't mean it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, so that's kind of going back to, is this worth it? You know, am I in a space? And when I say, is it worth it? Not like, are certain people worth it? Although that's a piece of it. If that's someone you trust, you feel safe with them, you know, you love them, you want to continue to build on your relationship or repair your relationship, depending on where you're at with things. But also, like, is it going to be worth it to do this right now? Or is this just going to feel so impossible and so overwhelming and so harmful and so triggering and unsafe for me, right? Do I have the mental and emotional energy for this right now?
And the support.
Mm-hmm. Do I have the support? That's a great, so do you have a therapist? Do you have a coach? Do you have friends? Do you have, you know, a sponsor, other people in recovery, whatever it is that you can really discuss this with? And I do want to mention, we're going to talk more generally about boundaries, but Veronica Valley, we're going to do a little bell for her. She has, you know, the Sober Soul, Sober Full. Lynn Maddie has Sober Soul. She's amazing. But she has a great episode on boundaries as well. So definitely check that out. But you know, is this something that I am in a place of mentally, emotionally? Do I have the resources for this? Can I have this conversation and then follow through, right? Yeah. And it takes practice. So maybe start with somebody like, you know, if you have a wonderful friend like Liv, like I do, start with somebody that you can trust, that you can kind of practice it out with, right? And you might even say like, hey, I want to practice this. This is something I'm trying to change in my life. And so will you let me practice on you? But, you know, absolutely this can be that you're trying to work on that boundary even with that person, right?
And practice some potential outcomes, like practice the worst case scenario and then sit with that and explore with the other person how you might approach that negative reaction or the defensiveness or whatever, you know, and ask yourself what you're going to do in those scenarios, because boundary setting is not easy. And we're not saying when we ask you if it's worth it, if you're worth it, because you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know? And you deserve to have relationships where boundaries are honored.
Yeah. And you might find, like in our relationship, you know, it's so easy with us. You know, we rarely need to set boundaries with each other. And we're able to have, I think we're just so, we're so fortunate that we're so, we have the same values.
Yeah, and we're very aligned.
Yeah.
Although I would say that actually I think we're always setting boundaries with each other, and that we just don't have to have like a formal like,
discussion.
Hey, Liv, I really need to talk to you about this boundary, right? Yeah. Like, because we just, in our conversations, it happens really naturally. And then, you know, like you said to me, I said something that was ableist, you know, and you were able to say, oh, you know, I recently found out that that's ableist. Yeah. Really, you're setting a boundary with me. Like, I want to have, I want to have conversations that are free of ableist comments.
Yeah. And we set boundaries around work too,
Oh, we have to. Oh, yeah.
And then I enforce them.
Yeah, like I try not to work on the weekends. You know, Saturdays are non-work days for me, non-negotiable. Yeah. And every now and then I get excited about something and I'll send Liv a text and she's like, hey, I thought we weren't working on the weekends, you know? And it's great, you know, and there's times, of course, where we can make exceptions because we know that we're coming from the right space or we'll agree, like, hey, even though it's a Saturday, I think one time we had to record on a Saturday because of circumstances. And we just were like, hey, we're going to do this one time.
Yeah.
We just don't want this to be a habit. So the point is that we're kind of always doing that. It doesn't have to be a formal thing. But with other people who maybe haven't practiced boundaries enough, not enough, but who haven't practiced boundaries very much in their life or who maybe are you have a relationship with them where they don't see your boundaries, then we have to have a little more formality.
And also, let's not forget that people with substance use disorder often come from dysfunctional families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is not just, and, you know, and I think this is a common misperception, is that family then focuses on that individual as the person that has the recovery, when in reality it's the family that has a recovery because, you know, the family system as a whole has contributed toward that person developing substance use disorder. So when setting boundaries in that scenario, you need to be conscious that there might still be a heavy amount of dysfunction. And what I mean by that is codependency, which is often characterized as a lack of boundaries. You know, people are too involved in other in managing other people's lives. You know, that's why Al-Anon exists, right? You know, is the typically the person with alcohol use disorder comes along with the partner
who wants to fix them.
Wants to fix them.
Because when they need to be fixed, right? And so fixing culture is huge, especially like for people in who struggle with substance use disorder and their family dynamic.
But the boundary setting in context is actually, you know, if you think about it philosophically, it's kind of a disentangling that relationship.
Absolutely. And it's something, if we haven't had it modeled for us, it can feel really uncomfortable.
Oh my God. So hard.
And so, you know, even just approaching these conversations is so amazing. And, you know, just even recognizing that you deserve to have boundaries and, you know, that they don't have to be the cultural norm. And,
This is about what you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, absolutely. Honoring, you know, what your needs are, really. And so that's actually another great point that I wanted to bring up is, can you, before, during, and after, or at any point, really look at what are the underlying issues here? What's the underlying need? And is there ways to meet that need within setting the boundary, within that relationship, and outside of that relationship? So, you know, maybe the need is to feel empowered or feel autonomous, right? It may be like, especially around food, it can feel like, you know, you just don't want anybody, like you said, to comment on your food choices. I need to feel in control of, you know, what I choose to put in my body. And so what's the underlying need there? And the need is to feel in charge of what I put into my body. And so by practicing intuitive eating, I'm doing that practice for myself, right? And then I can start to move outward from there. Or maybe that, you know, you're having a boundary be crossed really regularly, but you haven't spoken that boundary yet. And so maybe it's that, you know, somebody's coming over, you know, you mentioned the drunk ex, but maybe it's that your sister-in-law comes over and doesn't let you know that she's coming over. She just shows up all the time, right? Well, in her family, she may think you have that relationship. She's having a different relationship with you than you are with her. So, you know, maybe the boundary just needs to be spoken. And so your need is to stand up for yourself, regardless of what she does, right? Yeah. Maybe that's all you need to feel empowered.
And it's really interesting, too, because I found that in the process of setting boundaries that I didn't know sometimes that's what I needed to do. I didn't realize that was why I was being triggered. So I lived in, I have always struggled in shared housing situations because I, you know, with complex PTSD, I've lived in houses that have been broken into. I've had an ex do, you know, not very favorable things to compromise my feeling of safety and security. Mm. So, you know, I have a heightened awareness in those scenarios. Mm-hmm. So if I live in a busy house where people are coming and going and the door's unlocked and, you know, lots of people have keys, mm-hmm. and there are drugs delivered to the mailbox and those scenarios, mm-hmm. like when I first moved to Portland, I felt so triggered. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is all this anger rising within me? I didn't understand what was going on. So I would encourage you in sharing those awful examples that I wish no one would have to go through is, you know, is listen to your body. Like, what is your body telling you? Mm-hmm. You know, these are cues.
Absolutely.
These are not defects.
Yeah. I mean, if you're like ruminating about something or something, or like Liv said, if you're having a reaction that feels disproportionate to what's happening in the moment, there's something else going on, right? Yes. There's something deeper there. And so like Liv was saying, you know, people coming and going, it's interesting because, you know, that's not really something that I... you know, like when I think you mentioned this to me one time, and I had to think about it for a moment. I was like, oh, it wouldn't occur to me if I was living with someone else, if I came and went a lot, that would be disruptive to them, right? Yeah. But in my house, you know, always when I was growing up, we lived in the city for a while and then we moved out to the country and we always had our front door locked. And so I get annoyed if the front door isn't locked. And it's interesting because I've actually always had big dogs. I've never had anyone, knock on wood, I haven't had anyone break into my home. I've had people break into cars and things like that. But it's like I'm very sensitive to it. Like that is just an expectation. And so when we've had housemates move in a couple of different times, I had to be really clear, like, hey, I had to set that boundary up front. Like, as soon as I noticed the door was not locked, I'm like, listen, if you're coming or going, lock the friggin' door. Yeah. You know, that's really important to me. I live in a really, you know, pretty safe neighborhood. Like, it's not, I recognize that that's not the standard cultural norm here, and that other people, you know, if you just running to the store or going for a walk or something, other people wouldn't necessarily always lock the door.
But that's really interesting because it was foreign to me when I came to Portland and I saw people leave their doors open in the evening, like actually ajar.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband likes to leave the front door open sometimes because we now have, you know, like have screens. And so there's like, it's good for airflow. But I really have a hard time, like if I'm downstairs or in my bedroom or something, no one's going to come up to my door at like 7 o'clock at night. And like, it just
doesn't happen. Yeah, but in Portland it might, you know, and I think there was a catch up there too, is like Portland was a really safe place and actually it's not that safe anymore. The statistics, you know, the police statistics will prove that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I came from Manchester in England, which, mm-hmm. you know, and the area in particular that I lived in, had the highest rate of car theft in the entire country. Mm. And, you know, it was a really high rate of burglary. So leaving the door open or like leaving the door unlocked, I was just
like, never. Yeah. What? It's so interesting. So, you know, for me, my family and the people who are around my home know that it makes me feel safe if the door is locked and that's something I need. And so, you know, that might not be, I think boundaries also imply that, you know, we're individual and that how we feel isn't the same as how other people feel.
But that doesn't mean that we can't ask for that need to be met.
Oh, absolutely. We should. And I think if people recognize that we have a need and we're able to set a boundary, it helps them to, you know, honor our friendship or our, you know, honor us, because if we don't know, we can't honor it, right?
No.
So sometimes it feels really big and really charged, and then you know you could just ask the person and they're like, oh sure. But not always. A lot of times there is defensiveness because people assume if we're telling them that boundary that we're saying that they've done something wrong, right?
Yeah.
We're not, and it's not meant to be a criticism. So I'd say, you know, if you're on the other side of it, recognize it's not a criticism. It's just that person trying to get their needs met. So
So when you're using your language, don't apologize.
Yeah.
Don't say just. I think, as you know, I wrote an article on this recently that, you know, there are certain words that women use to disempower and mm-hmm. belittle what they're saying. So don't say just. Don't say I'm sorry or be over apologetic.
Yeah. We don't need to have a need. Say what you mean. Veronica in her art episode, she says, say what you mean and say it without being mean. And so, you know, using kindness and humor, I think, can be really helpful. You know, you could send these articles to someone if you're wanting to really have them and just say, like, hey, I'm trying to shift the way that I, you know, I talk about bodies, right? Or I'm trying to shift the way, the conversations. I'm trying to, you know, adjust so that I'm not being triggered by these things. You can send them an article. Or you can say, hey, I heard this podcast and it was really fascinating to me. And I really want to look at how I am allowing, you know, conversations to happen around bodies and around food and, you know, kind of taking responsibility for that, too. Sometimes that can be really helpful.
Yeah.
Awesome. You can send them this podcast if you want.
Yeah, we will be happy for you to do that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening today. It's been so fun. Liv, do you have any last thoughts?
No, just I would just encourage you to ask for the boundary.
Yeah.
You're worth it.
Yeah, you're so worth it. You deserve to have your boundaries met.
And also, you know, if you're met with defensiveness or anger or, you know, a person disrespecting your boundary, maybe they're not the right person for you to be in a friendship or a relationship with.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you need to have a break from them.
Yeah. Who is it? Oh gosh, she's totally famous. I don't know why I can't think of her name, but she says, if someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Oh, Maya Angelou.
Oh yeah. Maya Angelou. Yeah. So,
and then if someone shows you who they are, really believe them.
Yeah. Really believe them and, you know, and show them who you are. Right. And so, there's lots of ways to work through this. I think, you know, the other thing we didn't really talk about is, you know, what are some other ways that you can really support yourself during this process, even if you don't end up speaking that boundary or having that conversation with that particular person, you know, having an escape route, right.
Yeah.
Have kind of like a planned reply.
Yeah.
You know, if someone comments on your weight, say, you know, something like, hey, you know, that's not very nice, or, you know, whatever, right? Like, have kind of think these things through and kind of have
your backup plan.
Your plan B. And then, take care of yourself.
And then, you know, and have friends close by or a sponsor or a therapist. Yeah,
see your
or
therapist
whatever.
The day before you go see, you know, the family or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
And then maybe, you know, then maybe send a check-in text. I know I can, you can't do that with all therapists, but, you know, and not everybody has access to therapists. So, you know, this is where friends and sponsors come in. You know, tell them that this, you're, you know, tackling something challenging and, you know, set aside some time that you can check in with them.
Yeah. One of my favorite ways to do this is to let everyone know when I show up that I'm going to need to leave at a certain point or I'm going to take a walk, right? So I'm only going to be able to be here for a couple hours because, you know, whatever. You don't have to have, I mean, just I've got something else going on. I'm going to have to take off early. Or like, hey, you know, after dinner, I'm going to go for a walk or I might not sit down and eat with everyone at the same time because, you know, I'm not hungry yet, whatever it is. So kind of setting that expectation in advance that you're going to take care of yourself can be really helpful so that you don't feel trapped. All right. Well, I feel like we've covered a lot. Of course, we would always love to hear your thoughts, and we appreciate you listening. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Breaking Free Podcast, Your Recovery, Your Way.
We want to hear from you.
Email us at hello@breakingfreerecovery.com or join our Facebook group, Breaking Free Community.
Tell us what Breaking Free means to you.